Welcome to this life-transforming message by Reverend Pascal. Reverend Pascal is a seasoned, anointed minister of the gospel whose teachings on Christian living, church growth, and the work of the ministry have inspired and impacted many ministers and believers. He is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant, cell-based ministry with many branches across South Africa. Through powerful services and spirit-led ministry, countless lives are being transformed, souls are being won, and passionate kingdom workers are being raised for the glory of God. As you listen today, may the Word of God minister life, healing, direction, and transformation to your spirit. May you encounter the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in a fresh and personal way. Be richly blessed as you listen.
Change our lives. May somebody here encounter destiny this morning. May we be changed. Would you lift your two hands to the heavens right now? I just want you to pray and say, Lord, minister to me by your word. Minister to me by your word. Can we all pray that prayer? Father, minister to me by your word this morning. Do something in my life through your word this morning. Can you open your mouth with me and pray that prayer right now? Just ask the Lord to speak to you, to minister to you this morning by his word. Come on, talk to him right now, wherever you are. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Our lives depend on you. If you know how to pray in the Spirit, why don't you bless in the Spirit right now, church? Why don't you honor the Holy Spirit? Come on, honor his presence. Those joining online, come on, also join us in the prayer. If you are joining online this morning, this is a holy time to get into the Spirit. Come on, get in the presence of God through prayer. Through prayer, through prayer, open your mouth. Welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, raise your voice. Raise your voice to the heavens. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. We are here for you today. We are waiting on you this morning. Spirit of the living God, it is your presence that brings life. It is your presence that brings deliverance. It is your presence that changes things. Right now we pray, let your presence overpower every evil presence in any life right now. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control, Spirit of the living God. Oh yes. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your glory, Lord. Fill this place, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us. Breathe on us this morning. Breathe on us this morning. Come on, somebody. Open your mouth and call on the presence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do anything without his presence. We need him. We need him. We need him. We need him. You need him. You need him today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a glorious presence. What a glorious presence. What a glorious presence. Precious Holy Spirit, we confess our dependency towards you. We admit we can do nothing without you. Our lives are dry and empty without you. So we quiet our hearts and we wait on you this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you. That the weak shall be strong this morning. The sick are being healed. As we sit under this atmosphere, the oppressed are being set free. In the name of Jesus. Father, your presence is invading our world. Heaven's invading the earth. Glory, glory, glory. We honor your presence. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Please help me celebrate Jesus this morning. Come on, let's celebrate his presence. Let's honor him. Let's exalt him. Let's glorify him. There is none like him. There is no God like our God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, you can be seated in his presence. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hallelujah. Are you enjoying the winter? The winter is nice, isn't it? Oh, yes. We are really deep in the winter right now. And we thank God for every season. Amen. Seasons change. Soon it shall be summer again. And you shall wear whatever you want to wear. But for now, you are under control. Amen. People are holy in winter. Have you noticed? People are holier in winter. Glory be to Jesus. Fruit that will last. Part 2. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, praise God, the Father will give you. Are you sitting at the back because you're going to be going to work? Come and sit here. This is my number one supporter. I like her to be there. Amen. Praise God. Say with me, fruit that will last. We started talking about this last week. And we are continuing this week. You're going to be changed. You're going to be blessed. Last week I told you, it's not that you've never had money. The money didn't last. It's not as bad as you need. You've had it. It didn't just last. Many of you have had boyfriends. Did it last? A number of us have had girlfriends. Even as I'm saying it, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Did it last? Praise God. This morning we're going to learn how things can last in your hands. Do you know that things can last? Yeah, they can. A number of us have had businesses or business ideas. At least a business idea. We had a couple of business ideas. They didn't last. Before they last, you change to another business idea. I'm trusting God with you that your salvation will last. Your salvation will last. Say with me, my salvation must last. Take your seat. Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect So great is salvation. When you get born again, salvation is a great thing. But as you keep going, go deeper and deeper in God, people start neglecting salvation. Other things become more important than their salvation. And they stop saying, when you are neglecting something, you are no more giving it attention. There are two schools of thoughts out there. Some say, once saved, always saved. Meaning, as when you get born again, you will go to heaven no matter what. And there's another school of thought out there that says, once saved is not always saved. Because you're saying here that you can neglect your salvation. You also know with me that Judas was not just a disciple. He was a son. A son of perdition. But he was a son. But he didn't make it. He didn't make it. Close to Jesus was even in charge of the money. Oh. He didn't make it. Don't neglect your salvation. Your salvation must be kept with a great, great responsibility. Don't joke with your salvation. Don't joke with your salvation. May your salvation last. We all know of somebody who used to go to church and that no longer goes to church. We all know of somebody who used to sing in a choir, but that no longer sing in any choir. May your salvation last in the name of Jesus. Number two, deliverance that will last. Deliverance. Say with me, deliverance. You see, when you come to the house of God, the Bible says that on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. So when you come to church, one of the things that will happen to you when you come to church is that God is going to deliver you. Jesus is going to set you free. The Bible says that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus speaking said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to set at liberty those that are captives. That you are delivered is a done deal with heaven. But that your deliverance will last is another reality. You've experienced deliverance. That something has left your life. And you felt freedom. After a while, it's like the thing crawled right back in. Am I talking to the right people? Deliverance that will last. Don't just be delivered. Decide that my deliverance must last. My deliverance must not just be for 2 weeks. Matthew 12, verse 43. Look at the word. When an evil spirit leaves a person, say with me, deliverance. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it is called deliverance. That's deliverance. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it is deliverance. Now, that evil spirit goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Are you here? Finding none. What happens? Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home. Tell your neighbor, you are a home. 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 And you can either be the temple of the Holy Spirit, or you can be free accommodation for demons. But you are a home, and you are not empty. I mean, you are not just vacant. There's an occupant. You are at a home. There are tenants inside. Free tenant. They don't pay. Its former home is empty, swept, and in order. You see, this is a position or a condition of somebody who will not keep the deliverance. Their house is swept. Their house is in order, but their house is empty. This is why people don't keep their deliverance. After they get delivered, they relax. They relax. And look at what happened. Look at what happened. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. This is the person who was delivered to. He has now been re-entered. Not by the same spirit. He has gone and found seven more wicked ones. May your deliverance last. You see, if your deliverance doesn't last, things will get worse the next time around. Things will get worse the next time around if you don't maintain your deliverance. If you don't maintain your deliverance. Look at the word. And so that person is worse off than before. And Jesus ended by saying, that will be the experience of this evil generation. May that not be your experience in the name of Jesus. But it says Jesus is predicting this is going to happen to people. This is going to happen to people. Yeah. We've all seen a person was in the house of God. Before they came to church, they were drinking one bottle. Jesus saved them. Then they decided that, you know what? Church is boring. I don't like the songs. I don't like the preaching. They left church. Now, 27 bottles. 27 bottles. Yes. 27 bottles. 2 Peter 2:22. They prove the truth of this proverb. The dog returns to its vomit. The dog returns to its vomit. So the dog has vomited and released itself. And after the dog vomits and relieves itself, the dog turns around, looks at the vomit, and goes back to eat the vomit. You have vomited demons and you felt better. But after a while, you go back to the same demons that are vomits. And you say, I'm available. Let's try it again. That shall never be your portion in the name of Jesus. I'm talking about fruit that will last. Salvation that will last. Deliverance that will last. Yeah. Look at the next line. Look at the next line. Same verse. A washed pig returns to the mud. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus. This morning we sang about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but people have been washed by the blood of Jesus. They have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. After they look nice and clean, they say, wow, I look so nice. It's not right. It's not right to look this nice. And they find a big pool of mud. 1, 2, 3, yay! Yeah. You see, you can't imagine wearing nice white clothes and throwing yourself in the mud. But in the heavenly realms, when you leave something and you go back to what God has set you free from, God sees you as a washed pig that has gone back to the mud. God sees you as a dog that has gone back to the vomit. I just want to ask you this morning, are you a dog or a pig? Which one are you? Anointing that will last. That's another one. Anointing that will last. Judges 16 verse 20. Then Delilah cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When Samson woke up, he thought, I will do as before. I will shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Samson was so powerful. There's a time Samson killed 100 Philistines with the jaw of a donkey. Another time, Samson beat Philistines in the whole city. Then he felt it's not enough. In the night, he took the gate of their city, the whole gate. He put it on his shoulders. And he drove, he walked for kilometers and went and left it somewhere else. And they say, whenever I want to enter here, I must enter for free. Everybody was afraid of Samson. But a little girl, Delilah, she just dances. She dances like a fish. Samson said, hey, Delilah, why are you dancing like this, Delilah? I don't like that dance, Delilah. Say, Samson. I don't like that dance, Samson. Hey, Delilah, I don't enjoy this. By the time Delilah was done with him, all the anointing is finished. Your anointing shall last in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You know, one of us told me the story one time of a brother. A certain Delilah noticed him. Yeah. And she dingled herself. He said, no, I don't like what you are doing. Why are you doing this? Before he realized, the clothes were off. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. Yeah. You know, after he did what he did, he left the girl. The next day. Say with me, the next day. Say it again. The next day. The next day. This girl, she meets another brother. She knew this brother is friends with that guy. And they both attend church. She saw the other brother. She went to him. She says to him, hey, yesterday, I dingle myself. Your brother, he felt. But listen to her words. He came and I heard this story about 5 years later. I started shaking. You see, she said to him, your brother was really anointed. That's the word she used. She said, your brother was really anointed. And this brother answered, say, why are you saying that? She said, oh, after I slept with him, within 1 hour, somebody called me
and bought me a brand new phone. I have been waiting for a phone for months. After I shook myself with him, he said, less than an hour, I got a brand new phone. That guy was anointed. Eish! She said, and she showed him the phone. Look at the phone. This is the product of the anointing of your brother. You are moving around, you don't know what you carry. There's a person who sees what you carry. Protect what you have. Number what? Number four, healing that will last. Healing. Say with me, healing. Look, I haven't started preaching. I'm just showing you things that can last in your life. In fact, I've started preaching. That's preaching, actually. That's preaching. John 5 verse 14. Later, Jesus found the man he had healed. When I talk like this, I'm just giving you context so you understand. Jesus healed this guy and the guy left. Later, Jesus found the same guy in the temple. So Jesus says to the guy, see, you are well again. So you are not fine. Stop sinning. Or something worse may happen to you. Here you are healed. Stop sinning. Like something worse will happen to you. Healing that will last. Lastly, breakthrough that will last. I said breakthrough that will last. 2 Kings 13 verse 18. Look at it. Then Elisha said to the king, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now, you will only defeat it 3 times. God was planning that your breakthrough will be perpetual, continuous. He says, strike the ground. The man took the arrows, 5 arrows. Held the arrows. 1, 2, 3. And he stopped. Oh, the prophet was so angry. He said, why did you stop? Why did you stop striking? You were supposed to continue striking the ground. What does it cost you to strike? What do you lose in striking? Now, you are going to defeat these guys forever. If you have struck the ground 5 times at least. But you only struck 3 times. So you will defeat them 3 times. After that, they will take over. I'm always amazed at how we start praying at night. First night we pray. Second night we pray. And we start feeling like, hey, it's like something is happening. Wow. Hey, you even start telling people, you know, I'm sensing something is coming. And you stop praying. And you stop praying. Why did you stop praying at night? Maybe by now, you would have totally destroyed that serpent that kept disturbing you. You relaxed too early. You must see us. You will fast a little bit. And when you start fasting, you can see yourself. Hey, this thing is working. This thing is working. Wow. But just like this king, you stop fasting. Just like this king, you stop tithing. Just like this king, you stop serving. And before you know it, what you were looking at as a breakthrough has distanced itself from you. Breakthroughs that will last. Somebody here who used to pray, and when you pray, you can sense, no, I'm dealing with things, I'm dealing with things. Ah, and you could see it's working. It's working. God is encouraging you. It's working. But it is at that same time that you stop praying. Because God is showing you a bit of victory, you stop praying. Stop praying. Stop praying. And God is saying, why did you stop praying? Why did you stop fasting? Why did you stop tithing? Why did you stop giving? Why did you stop serving? This was your victory. But you relaxed. You watch movies, you will see how this guy hit this other guy and this guy fell. And when this guy falls, he thinks the guy is dead. He starts relaxing and coming to finish him. Instead of finishing the guy finishes him. Finishes him. Breakthroughs that will last. If you could hold on to that thing, Be at it. Even if the results are there, you say, I see the result, but I want to continue this thing. I see the job, but I want to continue praying. I see the breakthrough, but I want to continue fasting. I see the house, but I want to continue praying. A lot of us, as soon as you get the job, that's the end of the prayer. That's the end of the prayer. The day you got the job, the mistake God made was to give you a job. That was God's mistake, to give you a job. Since God gave you a job, the prayer also ceased. The fasting ceased. The fighting spirit gone. Why could you not keep striking? Jesus healed 10 lepers. None disappeared, feeling we are sorted. They didn't know that healing was not complete. They were healed, but they were not made whole. There's always something you don't see. There's always something you can't see yet. And if you are blinded by the little result, you will miss the big breakthrough. You will miss the big breakthrough. You have stopped praying because you had a small car. You are unable to see the big estate that God is preparing for you at the end of this prayer. Why did you stop praying? Why did you stop serving? Does it take so little to get you off the rise? I pray for you today. If nothing else stays in your heart, may God remind you of those days where you were seeking Him in a certain way. And I don't know what stopped you. I don't know what Satan has thrown on you that has made you to go so low. So low. Satan has silenced you. But God has come this morning to revive you, to bring you back to your place, to your place of authority, to your place of worship, to your altar of prayer. Your altar of prayer. I sense in my spirit that certain altars are being rekindled here this morning. The altar of prayer is being rekindled. The altar of prayer is being rekindled in the name of Jesus. 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 Your voice shall not be silent in that house. I say your voice shall not be silent in that house. You shall rise up again. You shall fast again. You shall pray again. You shall serve again. Ayapala shakete palamanto le mante le mandereba. Irakete pele sakora pala de bayaba. Shanteli makora pela de malada. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for reviving us this morning, for rekindling the fire inside of our spirits. Thank you, Jesus, for awakening us this morning by your spirit. By your spirit. By your spirit. Kala seka tola. Ribra zeka te palamandaraba. Japre katovele sakura palamandaraba. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, I see some of you, you are taking your arrows back. You are taking your arrows back. You are taking your arrows back. Because my God is the God of another chance. My God is giving you another chance to take your arrows and to strike and to strike and to strike and to strike again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You shall strike the enemy and you shall cut off his head. You shall strike the enemy and you shall cut off his head. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. You shall cut off his head. You shall cut off his head. Shall cut off his head. He shall not recover. I say your enemy shall not recover. He shall not recover. You know, when you are fighting, the one of the key in winning, that don't give your enemy a chance to recover. Don't give him a chance to breathe and regain strength. While he is still thinking, you must strike again. And once he's trying to recover, you must strike again. Until you give him a knockout. Receive a knockout grace in the name of Jesus. I have learned that one breakthrough is not what God was intending to give me. And it was wrong for me to relax just because something small happened. It was wrong. It was wrong. So I've gone back to my night prayers. Oh yes, I've gone back to all my stuff. All the stuff I know. I've gone back to all my stuff. Whatever got me where I am, I must continue doing to keep rising higher. Yeah. It's not time to give up. Quickly, as we close, 4 reasons why good things don't last in people's hands. There's a saying that good things don't last. But people don't tell us why good things don't last. We all want good things to last. How many of you would like good things to last forever? But there's a saying, good things don't last. But nobody has told us, why is it that good things don't last? Number one, lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom causes things to not last in your hands. You take a car, you give a car to a child, and you don't teach the child first how to use the car. You think that car will last in that child's hands? It will never last. There was nothing wrong with the car. The problem is the wisdom of the child. And I would like to submit to you humbly, all the things that didn't last in your hands can be traceable to your lack of wisdom in handling those things. If I have to be very honest with you, you could have still been in that job today if there was a certain wisdom you were using. Maybe by now you were supposed to be married. Yeah. With a child. You know, there's something wrong with us. I'm telling you the truth. Actually, something is wrong. What is actually wrong? I must be honest with us. Something is wrong with us. During the week, I went somewhere. And I was supposed to help somebody there. I can't give you more details. And I was in this place. I see this small girl. It's a small girl. Moving around. Three cars are parked outside. Three cars parked outside. Okay. She has a child. Has this. She stay in this house. fully finished. I can count about 15 to 20 members of my church that have the same age as this guy. Same age. They are still asking money for Boroto. And they don't think something is wrong. It's okay. It's okay. They'll hit 30 in the house. And it's okay. Some will even push to 40. Yeah. In the house. Yeah. It's a big, big, big error. By the time I enter the house of this little girl, you can imagine how much he has already learned for her to be at this level where there are three cars parked outside and all of this. She has a firm, she's married, the husband is there, they are all there. Young people. I said, what is her problem, actually? What is the problem? What is it? You see, we think I can be 25 and I'm still at home. I'm waiting for a job. I mean, it's not my fault. I'm waiting for a job, so I don't see why. What is the problem here? Yeah, I'm a child. I'm actually a child. Yeah. My mother said, and I'm just so surprised other people have chosen to not think like that. Don't think like that. And they achieve better results. Our biggest passion in this world is to see you and I proving that God is not a favoritist God. The Bible says the same God is good unto all. So there's something wrong with our wisdom. Not something wrong with the Bible. Something is wrong with our wisdom. The way we think. The way we do things. Something is wrong with it. Something is wrong with it. We encourage laziness. We support it. And when a parent is hard, they're saying he's a witch. He's a bad parent. He's an evil father. That's how we see it. When they just try to make you to be straight like this, it's a problem. Lack of wisdom. Isaiah 33, verse 6. I just want to say to you, if you are here, you are 25 years old, and you cannot show me two things to your name, I don't respect you. Me, I don't respect you. And I'm saying this respectfully, out of love. I don't respect you at all. At 25, the bed is the bed your younger brother. Your elder brother was using that bed. I shouldn't say these things in church, right? I shouldn't say these things in the church. That you are sleeping on the bed your elder brother was using. Yeah. The linen has been passed down from generation to generation until it has reached you. How many of you here have ever gone to Pep Home? Tell me. Let's talk. How many of you have gone to Pep Home? But again, you go to Ackermans. You go to Rage. You go to Fix. You go to Shane. You go to those guys for clothes. Have you gone to Pep home to order a duvet? Do you even know the price of a duvet? Okay, do you even know the sizes of duvets? I don't respect you at all. Look, I don't respect you at all. I don't respect you. I don't respect you. I don't respect you. I don't respect you. And I'm saying this out of love and out of humility. Yeah. You don't know the prices of duvets. You don't even know what is a duvet. Even as I'm saying here, but duvet, you don't even know what it is. Okay. Somebody here is angry. Say, Pastor, why are you preaching like that? Let me ask you a question. The pillow you are sleeping on, who bought it? Let's talk. Answer me. The pillow, who bought it? Huh? Come on. Hey. Even if you are renting, you took the pillow of mama from you took. You took mama's pillow, you took mama's cutlery, you took everything from mama, and you went to rent. I'm looking forward for the days I will see you going to the taxi rank. There's a pillow on your right, there's a pillow on your left, and you're going to the taxi rank with your pillows, with your pillows. Oh yes. But you see what I see? You are going to the ring with KFC. And you feel you are cool. And the day you upgrade yourself to McDonald's, put your hands together for Jesus. Please sit down. The second thing that causes things to not last in your hands: pride. Pride causes things to not last. Pride. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Let's go quickly. Pride goes before distraction. So whenever pride is with you, things will not last. Because distraction cannot cause things to last. And wherever there's pride, pride goes before distraction. So why was that relationship destroyed? Why was that education? Your education was destroyed. You wanted to graduate. You never graduated. What was the cause? Pride goes before distraction. When you see something that was going nice, all of a sudden, boom. Check it well. There's pride hiding somewhere there. Pride is hiding somewhere there. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. What does that mean? It means where there is pride, you will never see the end. Where there's patience, you will see the end. Where there's pride, we will never see the end of the matter. We never reach it. May God deliver us from the spirit of pride. May God set you free from the spirit of pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, but he did not last because of pride. Yeah. Daniel 28, I believe. Daniel. Oh, I think I forgot to change the verse for you. It's in the book of Daniel. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of his palace. This is the scripture about Lucifer. Lucifer didn't last in heaven. Lucifer was the anointed cherub. God anointed Lucifer. People know Lucifer today as Satan, but that's not how Lucifer started. When Lucifer started, he was not called Satan. He was called Lucifer, a very beautiful name. It means a light bearer. Light bearer. Light bearer. Other translations even say morning star, just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, morning star. The Bible says he was beautiful, majestic, leading worship in heaven, having control over so many angels. But that whole thing did not last. Why? Ezekiel 28, verse 17. While you are checking the other scripture for us, your heart was filled with pride. This is God talking to the devil, saying to him, this is what happened to you. Your heart was filled with pride because of all your beauty. Yeah. That's why when you are asking God that you want to be the most beautiful girl in town, think about it very well. Yeah. The more the beauty, the more the pride. And when you are also asking God, Lord, I want to marry a role model. I want to marry a top model. I want to marry a top model. Your heart, something is wrong with your heart, you see. Yeah. Why do you want to marry a very, very beautiful woman? It's not even safe to marry a very beautiful. Do you know that it's very dangerous to marry a very beautiful woman? Are you aware of that? It's very dangerous. You go and ask Abraham. His wife was very beautiful. He is about to enter Egypt and he realizes his hours are numbered. And he didn't do anything. He just married a very beautiful woman. So he looked at this situation and said, I'm about to die. And I'm about to die because my wife is beautiful. I remember one day, I went to a conference in Pretoria. The first day I went to the conference, I went alone. The preacher would come and stand in front of me. He was using me like he was preaching with me. The second day, I took my wife. And she was wearing a red dress. Yes. What was she wearing? A red dress. And they gave me again my first row seat. And she came and sat next to me. As soon as the preacher saw her, he started preaching that side. He started preaching that side. He started preaching that side. He never came back that side again. I said, my sin today in this conference is that I married a beautiful woman. So as you are busy there, you are saying, Lord, let she be like Eve. Let she be like this. But he said, you don't want her to be like evil. It will not be easy for you. You can die. Many men have died because of beautiful women. Yeah. Can I give you an advice? Marry average, 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 average. Low, 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 low. Average. Don't look at my wife for your model. Don't do what I say, but don't do what I did. Do just do it. You see, there's a mother who told me, you pastors, you always tell your members, don't marry beautiful women. Look for character. Look for character. But when we look at the wives of pastors, all the wives of pastors are very beautiful. Praise God.
I'm the first pastor to tell you the truth. You see? You just see us with beautiful women. You don't know the problems that are coming. My whole conference, the man doesn't want to come. He doesn't come this side anymore. He's preaching that side. I said, what is going on? I prayed in the morning. I was ready for more. I heard the Holy Ghost says to me, Sadiwaho. That's where the problem is coming from here. The preacher has seen your wife. And he feels he will not be balanced. Did you get the verse for me? Daniel 4 verse 30. The king spoke saying, Is not this great Babylon? Listen to King Nebuchadnezzar. That I have built for a royal dwelling. By my mighty power. Huh? And for the honor of my majesty. Huh? Nebuchadnezzar is moving around on top of the roof of his house. And he's looking at the city of Babylon. How the lights are shining. How the streets are shining. How the houses are built with palaces and with gardens. He says, is this not Babylon that my hand has built for my own royal majesty? Look at the very next line, the very next verse. While the word was still in the king's mouth, he had not finished speaking, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. It's finished. Pride causes things to not last. He was still talking. You build it then? Eh? Oh, so it's your power that built it. Okay, let me show you that you build nothing. I'm taking it from you. Then God says to him, you're going to go to the bush for 7 years. You're going to leave. You see, they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts in the field. They shall make you eat grass like an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of the earth, and he gives them to whomever he chooses. Until you realize you didn't build nothing. What is the greatest source of pride among men? Accomplishments. Achievements. Skills. Talents. It is something that has happened. Hey. Deuteronomy 8 verse 12. Look at it. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses, and settle down, 13, and when your herds and your flock grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, do you understand? Then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God. Most people that are saying that they're humble, they're not humble. They are broke. Yeah.
I'm telling you the truth before God. You are not humble. You are just broke. You are broke. Let the silver increase small. And let the gold multiply small. Let the house come from the ground. Let the car, all two cars are parked in the garage. Let's see. If you are humble again. Boso kema. Now you have iPhone 17 Pro Max. Boso kema. Who can talk to you again? I get it. When now you are no more shopping at ShopRite. Woolworth. You eating organic. I repeat, you are not humble. You are just broke. Let's see your humility when you have a high-paying job. Yeah. When you get married finally and your husband take you for honeymoon in the Mauritius. And you come back. The same week you come back, Muruti says, go clean the toilet. Let me see if you will still be humble. From Mauritius to toilet. I see some of you are not enjoying the message. You're like, what is this? What is this? I think let's close the service. Pride. And some of us, we are worse. Like, there's no car in the garage. You are broke. You've been broke. You've always been broke. And you are still proud. You are still proud. Even ShopRite, you cannot shop at ShopRite. You are going to Almaspaza shop and in the corner here. That's where you do your grocery. But you are proud. When was the last time you ate Lay's Zimbas? When was the last time? Talk to me. When was the last time? After the service today, Hobo Zimbas. But you are still proud. I'm still proud. Oh yes. You know, my father in the ministry, Bishop Dark, he says one time he went to the mortuary. When he went to the mortuary, he saw something there. These people, they are taking a body. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the back of the baki. They go for another one. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the back of the baki. When he saw it, they say, hey. Then the driver of the baki says to him, yeah. The driver of the baki says, that's why me, I don't fight people. I don't fight people in my life. What I see here every day, I realize that I must be cool. I mustn't fight people. It's usually the reason we are fighting people. You haven't gone to the mortuary before. So you are so proud. You haven't seen a dead person. You haven't seen what it looks like. That's why you're proud. Once you see death properly, you realize you are nothing. Most of the things you are fighting, you shouldn't fight them. Just relax, love people, obey God, serve God, do what you can do, and die the death of a righteous person. You are fighting your neighbor, you are fighting your cousin, you are fighting your mother, you are fighting your ancestors, you are fighting everybody. You are fighting everybody. God is not done with us, so he's still Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 18, now verse 17. Let's finish the preaching. And he says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. At verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You are saying, my hand has produced this wealth for me. But remember, there's an unseen force that's helping you. Not remembering it. Many of us don't remember it. As soon as you get paid, chelete yaka, etam yaka, data yaka, koloi yak, fono yak. We are looking very humble now because we are broke. But you wait after the 25th. If we will even see some of us in the church. Oh, yes, you come and check. You come and check. All of a sudden, God must wait. Modimo kiaka kiaka kiaka. I'm coming. Yeah. We forget who gives us the ability to get wealth. We forget. You know, humility will cause you to pay your tithe. It is humble people that pay their tithes, because you realize, and I'm not coming down on any of us. I'm just teaching you the word. Can I teach you the word? I don't know why. When I'm talking about something else, you are flowing. As soon as I'm not teaching, you say, hey, you see, he has started. This is the problem. I'm teaching the word. Let me teach the word. Now when I'm saying pride, you say yeah. Now I'm saying jelete, I go say hey when I'm root. Humility will cause you to honor the Lord with your tithe. When you are humble, you will realize, I did not create the energy I'm using to go to work. I didn't create the legs. I didn't create the hands. I just woke up and I was like this. It is humility that causes people to pay their tithe. When you are not humble, you will not see where God has. What does God have to do with my salary? Huh? I've got a bigger project. I'm trying to finish the house. You are saying I must pay tithe.
Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You see, he gives you the ability to produce wealth. Then he says to you, honor the Lord with that wealth. Honor the Lord with the wealth. And with the first fruit of all your crops. Honor God with it. And if you do that, it shall never end. Look at verse 10. Continuity. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. New wine. New wine. Something new. Something fresh. Humility will cause you to honor your parents. When you are not humble, you will forget that you were a baby before. There is Dudu there carrying the little baby. You see, if that baby is not humble, years from now, the baby will look at Dudu and say, well, now who are you? Who are you to talk to me like that? And not parents that have called police for their parents. I mean, children that have called police for their parents. They call police. Some even beat their parents. When they don't beat with their hands, they beat with disobedience, they beat with other things. If you are not humble, you will never honor your father. You will never honor your mother. Just like you will never honor God with your tithe, you will never honor your father and your mother. You will never honor them if you are not humble. It takes humility to honor your parents. Because as you grow, you're going to one day wake up and realize you are more beautiful than mama. Yeah. Like you look at yourself in the mirror. You look at your mother. She looked like a bread that was not baked well. You see, when a loaf of bread that didn't come out well. And when you look at yourself, Coca-Cola bottle. If you are not humble, you will not honor your mother. You will not. Because you are seeing her weaknesses now. You are seeing that she doesn't speak English the way you speak English. Yeah, you are seeing that your father is weak. Your father can't walk. Your father can't remember things. If you are not humble, you will not honor your parents. You will not honor them. Yeah, you will not honor them. Because the time comes in your life where you start seeing their weaknesses. There's a time where your father is a god. He's Superman. Your mother is everything. Yeah, she's sweet mama. But the time comes, oh, you start seeing, hey, man, you. Aibo. If you are not humble, you will despise mama. Yeah. You will despise daddy. Ephesians 3 verse 6 verse 3. Let's close. Yeah. 6 verse 3. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you. But you have to honor them for things to go well. Then number 2. You will have a long life on earth. Age. Longevity. Honor your father. Some of you, hey, you can face your dad. You play ping ball with your dad. He hits you. You say tennis ball. Pam, 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 pam. Huh? You are playing tennis ball with your mother. She says one, you say 2, 3. May God forgive us. I say, may God forgive us. Let's quickly close. Number 3, what causes things to not last? Offense. Offense will cause things to not last in your hands. Many things don't last because people get offended. I shouldn't say it. Yeah, offense, 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 offense. What is offense? You see, offense is something that causes you to feel hurt. Do you understand? You feel hurt, upset,
and you even feel undermined. You feel people have taken you for granted. Yeah. You feel people have been unfair towards you. When you are feeling that something is unfair, you are about to be offended, or you are already offended. The challenge about offense, my precious people, is that Jesus told us, as for offense, it will come. It will come. It will come. Not it might come. It will come. There will be offense. That's Luke 17 verse 1. It is impossible that no offenses should come. It's impossible. If you're going to live in the house, somebody's going to offend you. If you're going to go to school, somebody's going to offend you. Hey, you're going to come to church, somebody's going to offend you. There'll be offense. As for offense, it's going to come. So that's not the issue. The issue is, how will you handle offense? How will you handle it? Some people, offense changes them. Yeah, it affects them deeply. And you need to really go and find my series. I did a series on offense before. And there was a message from lover to monster. When you get offended, you'll be surprised that the same you who was loving, there's no more love now. There's no more love. All your thoughts have changed. You are not having thoughts of hurting also, of retaliating, bitterness. That's what is happening now. What is going on? You are offended. You are offended. You are offended. Why am I teaching you about offense? Because you see, offense causes a lot of good things to not last. When you see a marriage that has lasted 20 years, 50 years, hey, these people have overcome a lot of offenses on the way. A lot of offenses must be overcome for something to last this long. You don't like the message? I'm telling you, if something is going to last, you must learn quickly to deal with offense. Jesus already tells you, offense will come. And when offense comes, offense doesn't come to bring us together. No. When offense has landed on your heart, offense has landed to bring separation, division, and hatred. Let me tell you what offense does. Matthew 24 verse 10. Give me that quickly. We are almost done. Actually done. Yeah. New King James, if you can. And then many will be offended. And after they are offended, look at what will happen. They will betray one another. And then they will hate one another. Am I communicating to you? When you see hatred, the root of it is offense. When you see betrayal, the root of it is offense. When somebody has betrayed you, you must realize that something offended them at one point or another. That's why now they are responding this way. So I'm saying, when offense is somewhere, it's a matter of time. The world will crack. The world will crack. There's a lady in the Bible who took offense very seriously. Mark 6 verse 18 to 19. Her name was Herodias. You see, John was her pastor. So she came to church one Sunday morning. She was sitting. She parked a very big Mercedes Benz outside. And she came with her husband, who was actually the guy who was now her husband took her from his brother, meaning she was married to the younger brother of this guy.
But when he came to the wedding, he looked at her and said, no, man. How can my younger brother have a nice girl like you? He's my younger brother. I'm supposed to have you. In fact, from now, you are my wife. Then he says to her, you think about it. My younger brother doesn't have a car. My younger brother doesn't have money. My younger brother doesn't have the house I have. As soon as you marry me, you'll have 10 cars. You'll have this, you'll have this. You decide if you want to stay with poverty or you want to come where real things are happening. She also talked to you. I said, no, man. I mean, I'm suffering here. This guy keeps saying there's a project. Oh, no, they'll call me tomorrow. I don't want these things. Here's my opportunity. Can I tell you something? She left her husband while he's still alive and moved to their husband's elder brother. The lady has to do what the lady has to do. So, and she came to church with that brother. The younger brother is sitting on the left. The elder brother is sitting on the right with the wife of the younger brother. In the church. So Pastor John stood up. He said, no, everybody knows this problem. I need to address this matter. So he stood up and says, you know what? He says to Herod, it is not right for you to have your brother's wife. That is wrong. I mean, your brother is still alive and you took his wife simply because you have power and you have money. It's not right. I feel like telling somebody here, it is not right to take another person's boyfriend. It's not right. You know very well that this girl is dating this guy. Go find your own. Find your own. You see, he was talking to Herod. Are you listening to the preaching? He was preaching. And he told Herod, in the middle of the preaching, just like I'm preaching, and I say, it's not right what you are doing. Yes, oh, look at verse 19. So Herodias, that lady, do you understand? You even ask yourself, how come his name is Herod? Her name is Herodias. She took him, she took the name, she took everything. She said, I'm here. Herodias nursed a grudge against John because the pastor spoke the truth in the church. She nursed a grudge against the pastor and she decided he must die. This guy must die. Are you here? And if you read the story further, you must read the Bible. You'll be shocked by what you will see. One day, her daughter started dancing. The daughter of Herodias, Salome, she danced. Hey, the king looked at her and said, yo, I feel nice. He called the young girl, said, I'm so happy with you. Ask me anything you want. I give it to you. If you want half of my kingdom, yeah, he told her, if you want half, I'll give you. So the daughter of Herod just came in and danced. She pleased Herod and his dining guests. The king said to her, ask for me for anything. I have a Herod there also in the. So I'm reading the verse. Can you give the verse? It's a grudge. So, ask me for anything you want.
I'll give it to you. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give up. I will give you up to half my kingdom. What kind of dance is that girl dance? That people are giving everything like this. You see that type of dance? Very dangerous. 24. 24. 24. Hey. She went out and said to her mother, Mama, what shall I ask for? Like, I don't know what to ask. The mother answered, ask for the head of Pastor John. Ask for John's head on a silver platter. That offense that happened months ago. That offense. She kept the grudge in the heart. And when she got her opportunity, John was dead. Separation. John didn't last because Herodias was offended. How many friends haven't lasted because I was offended? Somebody was offended. Friends didn't last. You think about it. Even as we are sitting here this morning, there could be a grudge in my heart. There could be a grudge in your heart. We are nursing it. You see, when you are nursing something, you are growing. Nursing means you are growing it. When they say nursery, it's a place where things are small, but then you grow them. You are nursing. You say you are nursing a child, meaning you are having a child and you nurse the child for the child to grow. So when you are nursing offense or a grudge, you are feeding it. You are feeding it. How do you feed it? Your thoughts, bad thoughts, imagination, things you are thinking should happen. Things should go like this. I wish for things to go like this. I wish this should happen. I wish I should just get a phone call, he's dead. I wish I should hear that this has happened. I mean, if I could just hear that this has happened. What are you doing? You are nursing the grudge. You are nursing the grudge. You are making sure this baby shouldn't die. You see, a grudge is the baby that you should have bought. But that's the baby you are nursing. You are nursing this thing. Herodias kept nursing the thing. And before she knew it, she became a killer. Yeah. A lover became a killer by nursing grudges in her heart. You see, when you allow offense, you will never know what offense will make you do tomorrow. You will not know when you wake up one day and you look at the crime scene. You know, I can't believe it's me. It's you. It's you. But how did you get here? By nursing offense in your heart. This word is coming today like this. To reach your heart and my heart. God is saying to us, how long will you nurse offense and a grudge? Somebody spoke to you in a certain way. Somebody didn't greet you in a certain way. Somebody mistreated you at work or even at church. And ever since that time, your heart towards this person is this way. And offended people are the same people that become betrayers. Yeah. That's how a betrayer is made. A betrayer is made in the mold of offense. Offense. Offense that you didn't deal with. And
And Jesus told you, it will come. It will come. But you are not ready for it. You are not ready for it. It has come. And now you have become a betrayer. Which is our last and final thing that causes things to not last. Betrayal. 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 Betrayal happens when someone you trusted turns against you. Hey. We came to church. I know we came to church today. Tell your neighbor, today you are church. You are actually at church. Today like this. You are church. You came to church. Betrayal. Betrayal happens when somebody you trusted has turned against you. They have turned. Psalm 41 verse 9. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, he has lifted up his heel against me. This is somebody that was very close. He was a friend. He was eating my bread. But he has lifted up his heel against me. Do you know who David was talking about here? David was prophesying Judas before Judas was even born. And years later, Judas is eating bread with Jesus, knowing very well that that same night, after eating that bread, he's going to rise up and turn against Jesus. He was close to Jesus enough for Jesus to dip bread and put in his mouth. That's how close he was to Jesus. I tell you. But it is that same night he rose up from there. He says, you are finished. Jesus' life didn't last beyond 33 and a half years. Not because he was sick. Not because of anything else. But because Jesus came across a betrayer. Jesus' mistake was to appoint Judas in his personal team. Was to make Judas his treasurer. To put him in charge of the money. That was Jesus' biggest mistake. By the time Judas is done, Jesus is dead. I want to show you common causes, common sins of betrayal. A close friend shares a secret you ask him to keep as a secret. I shouldn't say it. You told him the thing, you say, tell nobody. This is between you and me. By the time you woke up the next day and you open Facebook, it's finished. What is betrayal? A spouse who is cheating in the marriage. That is, I'm trying to help you understand what is betrayal. Because some of them are, okay, what does Pastor mean by betrayal? Betrayal means you told a friend something, you told them to not tell anyone. By the time you came, they've told people. Betrayal also means when you hear a woman say, he's cheating on me, or a man says, she's cheating on me. That is betrayal. Are you understanding betrayal? Number three, betrayal is when a business partner steals money from the business. You and him, you've brought money together. to start a business. And you are doing your part very well. You are pushing. And you are thinking that he's also doing his part. By the time you open your eyes, he has built a double story somewhere. Number four, betrayal is someone pretends to support you, but secretly he's working against you. You are right. That's why a betrayer is the perfect pretender. Perfect pretender. Publicly, I'm with you. We are together. Yeah, we are together. As soon as you turn your back, he start changing numbers. He start arranging things. That's a betrayer. And this is how Judas betrayed Jesus. Kiss to kill. If you were taking pictures and you saw how Judas kissed Jesus, oh, how sweet, how nice. Ah, Judas is a wonderful friend. If you are taking pictures from far, you will say, wow, Judas is a Christian. He is greeting with a holy kiss. Not knowing that that was the sign Judas gave those soldiers. The person I'm going to kiss, he is the one you must arrest. Let's read this last verse. Matthew 26, verse 24 to 25. The Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would have been far better for that man if he had never been born. Can you imagine? Jesus says it could have been better if the mother of Judas committed abortion. It could have been better if Judas died in the womb. I don't know of any other person Jesus made such a statement. Jesus met prostitutes. He never said it could have been better if this prostitute were never born. Jesus met even murderers. He never said it could have been better if these murderers were never born. What is it about betrayal that is so bad that Jesus is saying, if you are saying you want to sin, do anything you want to do. But this one, don't do it. What is it about betrayal that is so bad that Jesus is saying that their child could have died? It was better. It was better if the child died. By the time Judas is done, the Son of God is dead. He's dead. The ministry of Jesus has ended because of a betrayal. But interestingly, precious people, Judas did not start as a betrayer. He started as a treasurer, a disciple, a son, a friend, many things. But he ended as a betrayer. I think it would be good for us to study Judas. It would be good for us. Because there's nobody who wakes up in the morning and says, I want to be a Judas. Yet today, no mother here will ever name her child Judas. Never. He has spoiled the name forever. Judas means praise.
but nobody is calling their child praise again. Because one man betrayed in a way that was very, very fantastic. I want to give you a piece of advice as we close. Not that it is even a good thing. But when you want to sin, look for another sin. Look for another one. Try other things. When Satan said to you, what about betrayal? Say, no. Hey, this is no. No, please. Bring masturbation, bring other things like this. Don't bring this one. Don't bring this to me. There must be certain things you say to the hell, no, here. You are crossing the line. And can I tell you something? Betrayal is the commonest thing in the church. The commonest thing you will find in friendship, in relationship, is betrayal. The commonest. In families, betrayal. I don't want us to be a church of betrayers. And I don't want you to be a betraying friend, a betraying partner, a betraying church member, a betraying associate. I want you to be a loyal and a faithful and a committed associate and a friend and a partner.
Please put your hands together for our Reverend. Oh, you can do.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and transformed by the powerful Word of God ministered by Reverend Pascal. If you are anywhere around Rustenburg, South Africa, we warmly invite you to fellowship with us at one of the many branches of Alive Bible Church. Join us for our uplifting services every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Friday at 4 p.m. for our prayer services. Stay connected with Alive Bible Church through our social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more inspiring messages and updates. Thank you for joining us today. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you.